It's Bill Buckley here, not at the usual time. Things are back to normal at six tonight with Stereo Underground. Meanwhile, I'm delighted to say that a couple of my Saturday morning regulars have kindly migrated with me to Saturday afternoon this week, the first of whom is the gadget detective Fevzi Turkalp. Hello, Fevzi.
Hello there. I tried to contribute to the football earlier, but they were not interested, really.
Really?
Yeah, you didn't, I don't know why.
They wouldn't take your views on Reading being knocked out of the cup. Gosh, that's quite a story.
Quite a wicked right foot as well. But
I've heard about it, yes. Can well believe it. You're definitely wicky when it comes to knowing about gadgets anyway, and your first gadget of the week this week is a charging station.
Yeah, and it's an unusual one. So it's a branded Anker. It's called a PowerPort Atom 3, as in Roman numeral 3, three yeah. eyes, 63 watt slim. Okay.
Uh-huh.
Now, be careful because this is a review of this particular one, and there's a lot of ones that are similar within the range. So I'm going to give you the model number. It's called A2046.
Okay.
Okay. So just so we know. So just to give you an idea, this is a device that charges phones, even laptops, all sorts of devices that either use what are called USB-A connectors, which are the traditional rectangular ports, and also USB-C, which is the new type of USB, and it's sort of smaller and oval shape. So unlike, you know, like when you put a USB socket in, you've got to get it the right way around. It's really
yes,
annoying.
Yes, and you always guess the wrong way around, yes.
Yes. So with USB-C, that doesn't happen because it's the same either way up. So
right.
That's one problem.
Progress,
so,
yes.
Yes, but the other thing is that the USB-C connectors and therefore cables can carry much higher power. So in addition, so if you've got, so this thing's got four ports. It's got two of the conventional USB ports, which are fast charging, and two of the USB-C ones, which are even faster charging. And so if you've got a compatible device, and I will post a link on Twitter later so that people can actually check if their device is compatible,
mm-hmm.
You can charge your device up to 2.5 times faster than a conventional charger. So
good.
That's a real benefit. You can charge up to four devices at one time. If you've got a modern laptop with a USB-C connector on it, often you can use that connector to charge the laptop itself. So let's say you've got a laptop and it comes with a power brick, but you use the laptop in two locations and you don't want to have to carry the power brick. So you leave the power brick it came with at one location. This device, which is, to give you an idea, it's about 3 inches square and about 3/4 inch thick, so it will fit in a shirt pocket.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so it's that thin, and yet it's got those four ports on it, which is why I've chosen it, essentially. You could just leave this at the other location and then have a charger at each one and not have to schlep the charger around with you. Or if you're traveling, this is ideal. The reason why it's so slim is it uses a new technology called gallium nitride technology, and that means that you can produce smaller circuits that produce less heat, and therefore you get less need for it to be big, because a small device doesn't dissipate the heat very well.
So
what's quite interesting is Apple do not yet use this technology in its own chargers, but there are strong rumors now that it's preparing to revamp its chargers using gallium nitride technology. So Anker on this occasion, because Anker were sort of originally known as a sort of affordable brand, and their stuff is sort of affordable. It's sort of mid-tier in terms of price. Mm-hmm. It's good value for money. But they've been quite innovative. I mean, they're not just saying, oh, well, you know, we do it but cheaper. They're saying we actually do it better as well.
Yeah, very
which
good.
I'm quite impressed by. 4.5 stars out of 5.
Which, for those who don't know, that's pretty much top marks for our Fevzi. Very
that
rarely
is.
Goes to a 5, so he's very impressed with this
yes.
one. Yes.
Yeah, no, it's really good. It will do, you know, iPhones, iPads. I mean, you essentially, if it's an iPhone, it'll need to be something like an iPhone 8 or more recent. It'll do a range of Samsung and LG phones. It'll do iPad Pros that charge via USB-C, and it will do a range of laptops, including a lot of the MacBooks, but also some Windows machines as well. It's got a total output of 63 watts shared across those four ports, which is, just trust me, that's quite a lot, and it's impressive. The the power output belies its size. It really doesn't look like it's that capable. And that's why I've given it 4.5 stars. I'm very impressed.
Good. And as you say, you're going to put the whole set of details up on Twitter, at Gadget Detective, so that we make sure that we're talking about the same thing. But there'd be no reason to believe, presumably, that the others in this range that are similar but not actually model number A2046 would be nowhere near as good.
Well, it sort of depends on what devices you've got, because if you don't have devices that either can connect to this one or can take advantage of it, then you can go for something cheaper. I didn't mention this thing is £48.99, so it's not tuppence. But there are others. There's others that actually look identical that have slightly different socketry on them and less output. But if you don't need the output, if you're not going to, you know, charge a laptop, or you haven't got one that's capable of accepting a fast charge, then you can get something for sort of 30-something pounds instead of 40-something.
Can I ask you something entirely different? And if you don't want to have an opinion on this, that's fine.
But is it Twitter?
Yes, it is Twitter. And can you guess with regard to whom?
Donald J?
It's Donald J. Are we saying, well done, Twitter, for grasping a very difficult nettle? Or are we saying, well, about time too, you've made your fortune out of him. It's easy now. Anybody could turn him away now. What do you think?
It's both, isn't it? It's a correct decision. He's clearly broken the rules. He hasn't just broken them. He's been breaking them for more than 4 years. The difficulty is that although it's his personal account, it was being used effectively as the POTUS account, wasn't it? The President of the United States account. And, you know, just as you can't seemingly prosecute a president that's, whilst he is president, maybe they felt that they couldn't do that. But, you know, and also he was threatening them, don't forget, because he was threatening all social media companies with being held responsible for the content that's published on their platforms.
So, you know, which is the most delicious irony imaginable, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. They could be sued for publishing his tweets. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, his own tweets.
Well, that was the thing, is he said, well, if you're going to start censoring me, then that means you're taking responsibility for the content. You're acting as an editor. I mean, there is actually some logic to what you were saying. Maybe the exemption is a little bit too broad. Maybe social media companies do need to be more accountable for what's on there. Because at the moment, because of the sheer numbers of people using it, the way it works is anyone can stick anything up there, and only when it's problematic do they, after the event, try and take it down, which is really the wrong way around. What you need is artificial intelligence programs that can spot suspect tweets or messages, you know, on Facebook or what have you, before they go up, moderate them or at least flag them with a human being. And but the problem is that technology is not there yet. But you know how you get that technology there really quickly? You make the CEOs personally responsible, you know, and then they'll make leaps and bounds in artificial intelligence technology, and they will start to do it. Because it was the same problem. Do you remember when there was a live stream of a terrorist event? There was a gunman who went into a place of worship and shot the place up, and he was live streaming it, and it went out, and then it got copied out by acolytes and supporters. So as Facebook tried to shut down the streams, they were cropping up faster than they could shut them down, because it went up there in the first place. Now imagine you've got an AI program that's smart enough to say, do you know what, that looks like an AK-47. That looks like shooting. We maybe want to have a human being look at this. Yeah, and had that been done, because I mean, imagine no one else. You know, I mean, conventional broadcasters have to be licensed, and they're under certain, you know, Ofcom or you know, BBC board or whatever. But whereas at the moment, Joe Public can stick their mobile phone in front of them and start broadcasting live. And it seems that no one is really responsible for it. And more to the point, you can't put the cat back in the bag, as it were, because once it's out, as I say, it gets promulgated. It sort of ripples across the internet in copies of it being recreated everywhere. So even Donald J's tweets are being, you know, he tried several times to tweet under different accounts. And they've been playing cat and mouse with him and just shutting him down. Because the thing is, it's kind of obvious that it's him. He can't.
He has a very individual style.
Well, also because if it wasn't obviously him, people wouldn't, you know, listen to the dog whistles, would they? So, I don't know. It would be funny if it wasn't, sedition.
A matter of life and death, yes. Yes. Thank you for that. That's very interesting to know that that technology is in development. And any sort of time scale on that? When will the world be a safer place? But I suppose that the baddies will be trying to get around it.
Hand in hand with the legal framework. As soon as they start to say, we're going to make you responsible from this date, there will be something in place. What there will have to be is AI software that can pre-vet before and not just do after the event. You know, it can be done. Human beings can't do it because there's billions of tweets every day, you know. So no human group of people could do that, although it would solve global unemployment problem, I suspect.
BBC Radio Berkshire. Just gone 4:20. Bill Buckley with you until 6. Fevzi Turkalp, gadget detective, with us at the moment. And on now to facial recognition. Now, it is a boon, isn't it? I mean, I love it, Fevzi. But unfortunately, most of the time I'm out and about now, I've got my mask on and it can't therefore recognise me. But help is at hand.
Yeah. So Japanese company NEC, which develops a lot of facial recognition systems, not so much the ones that work in your smartphone, but the ones that police and airlines tend to like using in public. Mm-hmm. They have developed one that they claim that identifies people even when they're wearing masks. And it does it by focusing on the areas that are not obscured by the mask, such as, you know, the eyes and other features that are still visible.
Right.
So it's interesting because technology is neither inherently good or evil. It can be used for good, but it can also be used in a way which is incorrect, discriminatory, and even illegal.
Yeah.
And these sorts of technologies, for example, the use of this technology by the Welsh police was ruled unlawful in a case brought by a civil rights campaigner. So there are two categories of objection to this technology. One is a civil rights one anyway, because the idea that you walk down the street and what's happening is that cameras are constantly watching you, identifying your face and then matching it to a database of people that they're interested in talking to, let's say. And do we want to live in that society? I mean, that's well past Orwellian, and there hasn't really been the discussion about that. The other aspect of it is that the technology is imperfect, and not only is the failure rate somewhere between 20% and 50%. So, in other words, when it's 50%, that's a coin toss.
Yeah, exactly. It's been pointless at 50%.
So in America, other providers of similar technology, such as Amazon, IBM, have put a moratorium. They've actually stopped supplying this technology to police until lawmakers have a chance to create a legal framework. Because this is one of those cases, Bill, where the technology is leaping ahead of the legal framework and our ability to put into to understand the technology, its ramifications, to have a discussion as a society about what sort of society we want to live in, because there's clearly benefits to these technologies, but there are clearly dangers and opportunity for it to change our freedoms and reduce our freedoms. And it would be good if in this country as well, the police would stop using this and that our lawmakers would eventually get round. Well, I know they've got other things on their mind at the moment, if they would get round to producing a legal framework, because the thing is, it's being abused. For example, when there is a failure to match or when there's a false match, how long should the police be allowed to hold that information for? And what would that do in terms of the treatment of that person? And then put into the fact that the recognition rates of these technologies drop dramatically when we're dealing with black faces and darker faces for technological reasons. But the technology is de facto discriminatory because it's far more likely to misrecognize a black person's face than a white person's face. Are we happy to have such a technology, or do we say we're not going to put that into place until it fails to do that? So the technology is not fully developed, fine, but we shouldn't be using it in public places until it is, and until there is consent from a free people to say that we believe that the benefits of this outweigh the disadvantages. No one is discussing it. Most people don't even know it exists, much less understand the implications of it. And yet the police and others are happy to roll this out.
Well, now we do, thanks to you. And to think I'm so shallow, when I saw this is what we'd be talking about, I just thought, oh, good, when I want to buy my bus ticket online now when I'm out and about with my mask on, I won't have to bother to type 6 digits into my phone to make it spring into action. I can just point it at my face. That's all I thought.
But that's not shallow, because that's one of the benefits. But you know, as I said, neither inherently good nor inherently evil. They, you know, have to use the technology for good. Even facial recognition by the police can be a good thing, but it has to be within certain limits. There have to be agreed limits on the use of these powerful technologies.
Okay. Thank you very much. That was a super session. We'll have you back at the normal time next week, Fevzi. In the meantime, cheers. If you want to follow him, he is the Gadget Detective and is going to be tweeting about the first gadget he told us about today, @GadgetDetective on Twitter.